agree with me? Is this okay? Okay, so we've essentially proven that A is a commutative and co-commutative, sorry, we've essentially proven that A is a commutative algebra, because basically because there are two pictures for A. In one picture it's obvious that it's an algebra, in the other picture it's obvious that it's commutative. So and I think this is the comment that Yuri made when I talked about knots. So right, we have that A of a line is equal to, or is isomorphic to, A of a circle. This is obviously an algebra, right? Because you can compose by just juxtaposing lines. Okay, so you know, if you have one chord diagram and then you want to multiply it by another one, you just put both of them along a longer line. It's obviously an algebra. This, on the other hand, is obviously commutative, because if you close this line, then there is no difference between which one came first. Okay? Alternatively, you know, if you want to use just one view, okay, then in order to move one across the other, so if I want to show that this is equal to this, you just use the argument of before repeatedly. Okay? So you put hooks around this one and use this argument in order to move this leg to the other side. Then you keep the hooks in place and you use the argument again to move the other leg to the other side, and so on until the whole thing has moved. And that's the analog of shrinking one picture and sliding the other through it. Okay? Right. I suppose I have to tell you what a co-commutative bi-algebra is, but maybe even before that, or you know what? No, let's do it. Okay? So here's a quick introduction to co-algebras. So first of all, what's an algebra? So an algebra is a vector space, let's call it A, but do not confuse this A with the target space of the invariant. So, or you know what, let's call it B, because later I will want it to be a bi-algebra. So it's a vector space B along with a multiplication . And a multiplication is just a map M going from B tensor itself, so it takes two elements in B and produces an element in B, and the fact that it's tensor product means that it's bilinear in both arguments. Since our algebra has a unit, by the way, what's the unit? What? Just the empty diagram. So the unit is the empty diagram, or alternatively, the empty circle. Okay? Because clearly, if you connect some an empty diagram with anything, it stays the same. So along with a unit, so a unit is a map epsilon from the ground field, so I guess, or from the ground ring, you know what, again, since I don't want to think, I don't want to put too much notation, let's declare that the ground ring is the rationale. So it's a map from the ground ring into B, and really you should be thinking of it as epsilon of 1 is the unit. Okay? So, but once you have epsilon of 1, you have, or once you have a unit, you have a whole map from the rush from the ground field into the algebra, because you can take any other element of the ground field to the corresponding multiple of the unit. Okay? Such that, and then a number of properties are required. So there is an associative property, associativity. And what's associativity? Well, if you take three elements of the algebra, so you start in B tensor, B tensor, B, well, there are two ways you could multiply them so as to get a single element in B. One way is you can multiply the first two factors while doing nothing to the last one. So you apply the map M to the first tensor, two tensor factors, and apply the identity to the last tensor factor. And this gives you, this gets you to B tensor B, and then you can again apply M, and you're in B. Okay? And then you can, alternatively, you could apply white one tensor M, so you apply the multiplication to the last two tensor factors, and you do nothing to the first, so you're again in B tensor B, and apply M again, and you're done here. So associativity is the fact that this diagram commutes. Okay? Likewise, there is the unit property. So the unit property is that if you start from the algebra, well, the algebra is isomorphic to the ground field. Tensoring with the ground field never does anything. So it's isomorphic to the ground field times the algebra. But here you can apply, let's see, epsilon tensor 1. So this gets you to B tensor B, right? What this does is it creates a copy of the unit in this factor. And then the crucial point is that if you apply M now, so if you multiply the copy of the unit that you got here into here, well, first of all, you land back again in B, but the claim is that you've done nothing. So this is a commutative diagram. Okay? And finally, there is commutativity. And commutativity, I guess let me write it here. So commutativity. So I suppose the thing that I'm defining right now. So okay, you can think of it either as commutativity may or may not be imposed, or you can think of it as I'm defining a commutative algebra. But anyway, commutativity is the following. If you have two elements or in the algebra, you can first multiply them, and you get back again an element of the algebra. Or alternatively, you can transpose them, so you apply the map sigma that flips the two tensor factors, so you get into B tensor B, okay? And the result, and then you multiply. And commutativity is the commutativity of this diagram. Okay? So what's a coalgebra? So a coalgebra is, well, one way of saying it is that it's what the structure that you would have on it on the dual of an algebra. Another way of saying it, well, if you take the dual of every space that appears here, then all the arrow get reversed because you get the transposes of all the adjoints of all the arrows. So you get the exact same diagrams with all arrows reversed. So a coalgebra C, or you know, more completely, a co-commutative coalgebra with unit, with a co-unit, is the following. First of all, you want a vector space C along with a co-multiplication. So delta is the so-called co-multiplication or co-product. Co-multiplication. And it goes the other way around. So it goes from from C to C tensor C. You have a co-unit, so a co-unit, I think it's usually called eta, and now it goes from C into the rationals, such that all diagrams commute when you reverse the arrows. So if you start, but I guess if you reverse the arrows, the arrows start at the bottom right and end at the top left. And that's against the sort of normal flow of mathematics. So I'll also flip the diagram. But it's the same diagram. The only thing is I'm just putting it in the plane differently. So if you start from C, you can apply delta and you go into C tensor C. Or you can apply, and then you can apply one tensor delta, and delta takes a C and makes two C's out of it, so you get C tensor C tensor C. Or alternatively, you could apply delta to get into C tensor C, and then apply delta tensor 1, and I want this diagram to commute, and this is called co-associativity. Okay? Likewise, I want the co-unit property. So the co-unit property will be that, I suppose, let's start from here. So if you start from C, you apply the co-product, you are in C tensor C, you apply the eta tensor, the identity, and you are in Q tensor C, and I suppose this equality was superfluous, so I'll skip it and I'll just be left with a commutative triangle. But C and Q tensor C are isomorphic, so I want this diagram to be commutative. And finally, there is the co-commutativity, so co-commutativity, and again, this is the opposite of this. So if you start from C and apply delta to go into C tensor C, and then apply sigma, sigma is just the thing that transposes the two tensor factors to go into C tensor C back again, and then, or alternatively, just go directly with delta from C tensor from C to C tensor C, then you want this diagram to commute. So now I've defined a co-algebra. I haven't yet defined a bi-algebra. Let's do it later, but first do a few examples. You know what, it takes, yeah, let's do it later. But first do a few examples. So I'll do one example, and then I'll show that A is a coalgebra, and then I'll define a bi-algebra and show that both the example and A are in fact bi-algebras. Okay? So start from the example. So let's take B to be C to B. So I'm going to give you an example which is both an algebra and a coalgebra. And it's just the space of polynomials in two variables, okay? And 2 is completely arbitrary here. It could have been 17. So any space of polynomials. Okay, I just don't, you know, I want to keep my notation simple, so I'm sticking to 2, okay? So B is clearly an algebra. Is an algebra by multiplying polynomials. The map epsilon will just map any scalar to that scalar times the polynomial 1. Okay? Where R is any number in U, and, well, the fact that it's associative, commutative, and all that nonsense, you know. Okay? But now I need to define a map from, now I want to show that it's a co-algebra as well. So I need to define a map from C into C tensor C, in other words, from polynomials in x and y to polynomials in x and y tensor polynomials in x and y, but a different way of saying a polynomial in two variables paired with another polynomial in two variables, or the set of all linear combinations of polynomials in two variables times a second polynomial in two variables, is to say a polynomial in four variables. Okay? So this is the same as polynomials in the variables x1, x2, y1, and y2. And of course I could continue, so I could have z1, z2, W1, W2, and so on. Okay? So I need a map from polynomials in two variables to polynomials like that. And the map will be the map which maps a polynomial f, so it will map f of x and y into f of x1 plus x2, comma y1 plus y2. Okay? So, you know, it will map, for example, the polynomial xy to x1 plus x2 times y1 plus y2, which is x1, y1 plus x1, y2 plus x2, y1 plus x2, y2, which is, now let me interpret it in the language, you know what, let me interpret it over here, in the language of polynomials in x and y times polynomials in x and y. So really, the meaning of x1 is an x on the left tensor factor. The meaning of x2 is an x in the right tensor factor. The meaning of y1 is a y on the left tensor factor, and y2 is y on the right tensor factor. So, oh, why did I erase this? Sorry, I erased too much. So it's x1, y1 plus x1, y2 plus x2, y1 plus x2, y2. And again, this is x1, an x in the right tensor factor, a y in the right, an x in the left tensor factor, an x in the left, and a y in the left tensor factor. So the first term is xy tensor, well, there is nothing left for the right tensor factor, so it's 1, plus x tensor y, sorry, x tensor y, plus, so a y on the left tensor factor and an x on the right tensor factor, so this is y tensor x, plus 1 tensor xy. Okay? And here is a quicker way of seeing the same thing. So what I did is I looked at my monomials, at the factors of the monomial I was looking at, and for each factor, I just chose independently whether to put it on the left or to put it on the right, and I summed over all ways of doing it. So the x could either go to the left, like in this term or that term, or it could go to the right, like here and here, and the y could either go to the left, like here and here, or to the right, like here and here, so I summed over all possibilities. And this generalizes. So, you know, if you took a bigger monomial, the result will be, so in general, if you have any other monomial, x, x, y, 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 it will go to a sum over, well, we have five factors here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, so it will be a sum over 2 to the 5 choices, and each choice, so let's call these choices splittings, okay? And a generic splitting will look like something tensor something else, where you took some of these factors and put them on the left and some others and put them on the right. So let's say x and y, the first x and the first y go to the left, and then x, y go to the right. Okay? Now, this said, well, I haven't yet checked the axioms of a coalgebra. So let's do it really, really quickly. Okay? So let's check. Do I really need to? I think it's obvious. I mean, basically, since, well, the operation is substitution of a sum, but sum is associative. So doing it twice will give you the same answer. Or, in other words, the map from Q of xy to Q of x1, x2, x3, y1, y2, y3 that you will get here will be the map which is you substitute into x, x1 plus x2 plus x3, and into y you substitute y1 plus y2 plus y3, and it doesn't matter which way you go. Both ways will give you the same answer. So this is a coalgebra. This said, I want to convince you that our space A is a coalgebra. Okay, so that was the example, and now our space A. Are you with me, by the way? Are you okay? I don't know why. Okay. So, So, sorry, even here I forgot to tell you what eta was. Right, so eta will map a polynomial to its constant term. It's kind of the opposite of the identity. The identity, epsilon maps a scalar to a multiple of 1, and eta finds the multiple of 1. So I want eta to map a polynomial to its constant term. In other words, it maps f to f of 0. And again, you can check that all the axioms are satisfied. Anyway, now let's do it for A. So claim A is a co-algebra by, well, I have to tell you how to make it into a co-algebra. So by the following definition. Well, I have to tell you what delta of a core diagram is. So it will be the exact same definition. Namely, you will sum over all ways of splitting the core diagrams and taking a part of it to the left and a part of it to the right. Okay? So it will be a sum over splittings, and a typical splitting will look like this. You first of all make two copies of the skeleton so that this lives in A and this lives in A tensor A. Okay? And you just put your fingers on some of the chords and take them to the left and the rest go to the right. So, I don't know. Here is one element. Okay? But of course it could be, I mean, but in this case it will be 2 to the 4 splittings. Or in general, if you have n chords, it will be 2 to the n splittings. Okay? And what's eta? So eta should be the parallel of finding the constant term. So it should be the parallel of, well, you know, the chords here play the roles of the variables. So it should be finding the coefficient or finding the piece that has no chords. Okay? So eta will map basically eta of a diagram D will be, so this is a specific diagram, not a linear combination of diagrams. So it will be, I mean, and then extend it linearly. So it will be 1 if D is the empty diagram, and it will be 0 if the degree of D is greater than 0. So if it has chords in it. Okay? And now I claim that this makes a structure of a coalgebra. This puts a structure of coalgebra on A. So the key point to verify is this. I claim that it's a co-commutative coalgebra. So first property to verify is this. Okay? But this is completely obvious, right? If you sum over all ways of splitting a diagram, and then you interchange the two tensor factors, it's exactly the same as if you as just splitting, right? Because we summed over all possibilities. Now, what about the co-associativity? So, suppose you sum over all ways of splitting, and then you split the left piece once again. The result is just the sum of all ways of splitting the diagram into three pieces. And that's the same as if you split and then split the right piece. So, in other words, delta tensor 1 composed with delta is equal to 1 tensor delta composed with delta is equal to the sum of all ways of splitting a diagram three ways. And it just occurred to me that I forgot the main point. I missed the main point. Why is delta at all well defined? Okay, so I've defined it on diagrams, but A is a quotient space. So I have to show that delta descends to the quotient. So, claim delta is well defined. Well, I have to start from a 4T relation. And see what happens to it. Okay? And we've essentially done that. In fact, well, not just essentially, we've done precisely that in a slightly different context. Okay? Basically, I have to apply delta to all these diagrams. And of course, there are many other terms that are the same in all pictures, but I'm ignoring them. But when I apply delta to this, there are four contributions coming from each diagram, because each of the chords could go either to the left or to the right. Okay? And then what I can do is I can split the summation into three pieces. The piece in which I have in which both chords go to the left, the piece in which one chord goes to the left and one chord goes to the right, and the piece in which both chords go to the right. Okay? If both chords go to the left, I just get, from this piece of the picture, I will get this tensor nothing. From this piece of the picture, I will get this tensor nothing. And again, this is not really a nothing. It's whatever happens to the rest. Okay? And likewise on the right-hand side. But the point is that I get a 4T relation on the left, 4T on left, so the end result is well defined as an element of A tensor A, because in A tensor A, I've applied the 4T relation on the left. Okay? Likewise, over here, I will get a 4T on right. Okay? So it's well defined. And in the middle, well, basically, if one of these chords goes to the left and the other goes to the right, so you'll get pictures like this. Okay? But this picture is the same as the picture you get when you split this diagram. Right? Because the only distinction between these two diagrams is how these two chords relate to each other. And if they go to different places, there is no distinction. So here you'll get minus the exact same thing. And then, of course, you'll get more terms. But they're all of the same kind. So this is just zero. Sorry, this is not the empty diagram. This is the number zero. OK? So we're done. OK. So I probably went too far with the algebra without telling you what this corresponds to in knot theory. So I should tell you what it corresponds to in knot theory. So I'll tell you what it is in knot theory by means of an exercise with hints. So exercise if is a finite type invariant of type n. Okay? So if f belongs to Vn and g is a finite type invariant of type m, so it belongs to Vm, then f times g, so you just multiply the two invariants pointwise. And I suppose for this purpose, the target space has to be a ring and not just an abelian group. So let me not say it. Okay, so the target space is a ring. So for example, Z is a ring, the right is valued in Z, so the right squared would be an example of this. Anyway, the claim is that in this case, the product is of type n plus m. And again, this is the parallel of the fact about polynomials, that the product of two polynomials is again a polynomial whose degree is the sum of the degrees. And, well, the weight system of f times g can be computed from the weight system of f and g as follows. Well, you look at the weight system of f, you tensor it with the weight system of g, and you compose this with delta. So maybe I should sort of make it a bit clearer. So if you have A, well, you can map it into the rational. So again, when I don't want to say let's fix the ground ring, I'll fix it to be the rationals. So you can map it into the rationals using the weight system of F times G, right? Because weight systems are dual to A. Or alternatively, you could apply delta and you go into A tensor A, and then you can so it's not tensor, it's times. Well, I guess it's tensor and then compose once more with the multiplication of the rationals. Okay, so let's So you can apply delta to go to A tensor A, and then you can apply WF tensor WG to go into Q tensor Q, and then Q tensor Q by multiplication, or just is isomorphic to Q. Okay? So hints. So, I mean, the statement is well posed, okay? It's a well posed exercise. You can solve it or not solve it, but at least it makes sense. Okay, but let me give a hint, or give a few hints. So, the way you should think of a core diagram. Okay, so a core diagram is a bit like a differential operator, right? It acts on an invariant and gives a number, and it acts by applying iterator differences, so like a differential operator. So a core diagram is like a differential operator. So I want to tell you a few things about differential operators. So if you apply differentiation with respect to x to a function, to a product of two functions, the result is, and I think it's called Leibniz's rule, the result is, well, you differentiate f with respect to x and multiply by g, or you take f and differentiate g with respect to x. Okay? So basically, the derivative can choose whether to go to the left or to go to the right. But then there is an iterated Leibniz rule. So if you have a product of two functions and you differentiate it with respect to first x and then y and then z, or maybe first x and then again x and then z, I don't care, okay? By iterating Leibniz's rule, basically each differentiation can choose whether to act on the first function or on the second function. So the result is the sum of splittings of the kind where the first sum of the derivatives act on the first function and sum of the derivatives act on the second function. Okay? This is exactly the net effect of doing this combination. Right? Some of the chords go to the left, some of the chords go to the right. The ones going to the left act on F, the one going to the right act on G, and then you multiply the results. So this is exactly this, except in a combinatorial setting. And then the last piece of hint is that there is also a combinatorial analog of Leibniz's theorem, right? So this is for differentiations. Things here are defined by differences, but there is a combinatorial or a difference version of Leibniz's theorem. Namely, if you take two functions, now let's go back to knot invariants. If you take two knot invariants, multiply them, and apply the result to a double point. By definition, a double point, or the way you extend an invariant to knots with a double point, is the two ways of resolving the double point is as the difference of the two ways of resolving the double point to an overcrossing or an undercrossing. So this is by definition F times G evaluated on an overcrossing minus F times G evaluated on an undercrossing. Okay? So this is, so again, by this I mean the knot that you get by, well, you know what I mean. And this just is F of an overcrossing times G of an overcrossing minus F of an undercrossing times G of an undercrossing, because the product of two invariants when evaluated on specific knots is it's pointwise multiplication. Okay? But this can be rewritten as F evaluated on a double point times G evaluated on an overcrossing plus F evaluated on an undercrossing times G evaluated on a double point. just open the parentheses. Okay, so here you'll get over minus under, and here you'll get over minus under. So overall you get four terms. You can check that two of the terms cancel, and the two that are left are these two. Okay? But what happened here is that the differentiation, so this is the analog of this Leibniz's theorem. Okay? So here we differentiated f and evaluated g, and here we evaluated f and differentiated g. Okay? So the claim is that if you combine sort of this observation and the spirit of these observations, you can prove the exercise. Okay? So I want to, in the 4 minutes left, I want to complete the discussion by defining a bi-algebra and claiming that A is actually a bi-algebra. So a bi-algebra, what should we call it? Again, call it B, is a B which is both an algebra and a co-algebra. So B should have both M and delta and epsilon and eta, so that the co-algebra operations are morphisms of algebras, and vice versa. But the vice versa is in fact equivalent. So let me say it in a little more detail. So delta is a map from B into B tensor B. Okay? But B is an algebra. So is B tensor B. Right? The tensor product of two algebras is an algebra. If you have an X tensor Y and you want to multiply it by Z tensor W, you just define it to be X times Z tensor Y times W. Okay, so you multiply independently on the first factor and on the second factor. So this is an algebra, this is an algebra, and what I want is that this would be an algebra map. So this should be an algebra map. Likewise, eta, which is a map from B into Q, well, this is an algebra. This is definitely an algebra, being a ring. So I want it to be an algebra map. Or a morphism of algebras. And I guess I could go the other way, but since it's equivalent, I will not bother. Okay? I guess I could also expand this and turn it into a commutative diagram of the kind that I wrote for associativity and co-associativity, but again I don't want to do it because I just want to show you that delta, our delta, really does satisfy that. Okay? So in our case, in our case. So I need to show that our delta is an algebra map. So I have to take two elements of A. Okay, so sorry. So I need to show that delta going from A to A tensor A is an algebra map. So I need to take two diagrams. Here is one, and here is another. And I need to, first of all, multiply them and then apply delta, or first apply delta and then multiply the results. And I need to check that I get the same thing. So if I first multiply, I'll get this picture, and then if I apply delta, I'll get the sum of all ways of splitting this picture in two. So, you know what, I think I will not write it, but it's the sum of all ways of splittings. On the other hand, if I apply delta to both diagrams, sorry. Right, if I apply delta to both diagrams, I'll get I'll end up marking the chords as some going to the left and some going to the right. And here, some going to the left and some going to the right. And then I'll combine them and I'll get the exact same splittings. Okay, so I guess the point is that first combining the two diagrams and then deciding which chords goes to the left and which chord goes to the right is the same as first deciding which one goes to the left and which one goes to the right, and then combining the pieces. So I'll stop here.